Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are continuing our series on hearing God's voice. I believe this will be airing Wednesday, the 8th of May.
So, excellent.
Headed up to
This has been a fun series to go through, right?
Yeah, it really has. Is the I think Mother's Day already happened?
It'll be this coming weekend.
Coming weekend.
No, today's May 8th, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think it's the 12th.
So
May 12th.
We do want to at least honor all the mothers out there and
absolutely.
You know, give you a shout out of when we talk in our abiding retreat, we talk about God's provision of work as one of his seven exceptional things in life, is to provide occupation, work, things that people get to do, and then exceptional marriage and family, so that the original intention was always for people to get up, have communion with God, go out and work, get busy with occupation, you know, leave that at a reasonable time and come and be with the family and the wife and the kids. And we talk about, you know, is being a mother full-time a work?
Yes, I will say firsthand, yes.
Yes, and then I have Linda Scheer.
Yeah,
and she describes it, you know, it's not arduous work, but it was occupation of things that she enjoyed doing. And and I can remember a few times where, you know, she got, you know, she was laid up or sick or something. I had to do the work of staying home, being Mr. Mom. And man, I just all the stuff that she does. She actually has joy doing, but it was arduous for me.
Well, it's interesting. Have you ever read the book Domestic Monastery?
No.
Okay, so tiny little book, and I jokingly tell people all the time, most boring book I've ever read. I know people who absolutely loved it. So, you know, more kudos to you. Maybe I read it when I was in a mood or something, but there was this nugget from it that I took when I read it that I absolutely love. And it speaks speaks to motherhood, really. And in it, he describes this time when this gentleman decided to actually go to be a part of a monastery, to leave home. And he, for like 11 years, I think it was, it's been a little while since I read it, but for 11 years, he goes away to be in a monastery because he wants to just truly grow closer to God and hear from him more clearly and all of these things. And he comes back after these 11 years and he loves his time. He has grown in his faith. It's beautiful. It's rich, all of these things. And then he finds his mom, who has multiple kids at home, did not go away for 11 years, has also grown greatly in her faith, grown in her understanding of sacrifice and really dying to self and surrender and all of these things that God has grown her in. And he said he realizes that motherhood is one of the most beautiful monasteries there is. There is a place in motherhood that you truly become so much like Jesus, because you have to sacrifice, you have to be self-sacrificial, and you have to really become the servant and love without intention on yourself so often. And all of these things that he said, truly, he went away for 11 years and was by himself, and he grew, and she stayed right in the thick of the chaos and the mess and everything else. And God grew her just as beautifully, if not more, because of the monastery of motherhood. And I think it's a really beautiful picture and truly honoring to moms, having lived through the thick of it. I know Linda did too. I can say God has used motherhood to refine more things out of me than I could have possibly imagined even existed there.
Wow.
Truly.
Wow. Now that's something.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about hearing God's voice. And last time we've been talking about just some practical questions where about, you know, how do we handle other people? And we talked last time about either we received a word or somebody else spoke a word that doesn't happen. And I'd like to go back and just touch a few things about that.
Sure.
You know, there is a lot of churches, a lot of people, even small groups that will, you know, say, well, we'd like to speak a word over you.
Mm-hmm.
In a prophetic way. And it could be a guest or it could be somebody who has supposedly the gifting. A couple things about that is that as the New Testament describes the prophetic gifting, it's not resident in a single person on a permanent basis. So we have to be careful that a person isn't identified as, well, he's prophetic. And when that's said, it kind of implies he is and I'm not. Or that he is and other people that I know are not. So let's go,
right.
Let's go to him, and he's going to exercise this prophetic gifting. Now, prophetic gifting is developed, and people can get stronger in it, so they can
right.
look
And I
like
do think it. Practicing it, you do grow in it, right?
Yeah, yeah you do.
Recognizing, yeah.
Yeah, but it would be the same. And remember, this is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, first of all, of the Spirit manifests the gifts mm-hmm. as he so desires. It said he selects when and where, and he gives, mm-hmm. and he says everybody will experience the manifestation of these gifts, so that
right.
You can be prophetic, I can be prophetic, the person next to me can be prophetic, and it's never resident. So the prophecy gift isn't, let's say, independent from, well, he has the gift of faith. And see, God, remember, God says, without faith, it's what?
Impossible to please God.
Okay, so it's not, well, to me to have faith, I go to somebody who has faith and say, believe for me.
Mm-hmm.
We have to believe fundamentally and learn to live in faith, just like we learn to live in prophetic or knowledge or wisdom. There's these moments that are special, what we call anointing.
Mm-hmm.
of the gift for a particular time, a particular moment, is yes, you're anointed, and I'm giving you a specific, let's say, a sensitivity or ability here to exercise for the body, but don't look at it as I have the gift and others don't. Everybody is supposed to have the variety of gifts, so that when somebody speaks a word over us, which is okay, it always has to have confirmation.
Mm-mm.
And the confirmation is going to have to be with me if it's spoken over me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to have some people around me to facilitate it, because what I see the abuse of it is that it's either spoken in too much detail or it's received in too much detail. And now I said, oh, I'm going to get this brand new job, you know, in the next 2 years, and it's going to be this company or this thing. And I just, great. Well, I never confirmed it, you know, and what I experience as people are doing that with me is that I think you overinterpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
And you applied a specific that wasn't meant to be.
Right.
And so why don't we go back here? And it wasn't that they weren't heading you in the right direction, but that we have yet to understand how that's going to play out, because remember, it's step by step by step.
Right.
And generally, he doesn't give us the end line answer. You know, you're going to marry this person in this state, or you're going to have this job in this place. They said, mm-hmm. I'm going to take you to a new job. Okay. Now ask, seek, and knock, and process, and move forward and see what he has to say. Because remember, it's a path with lots of forks in the road.
Right.
So if I've attached what I heard as a word, and I've had to deal with people, particularly this last year, who said, I was spoken over, and they gave me this very specific thing, and they sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, did you confirm it?
Right.
No. Did you have yourself? Mm-hmm. Did you have awareness of it? No. I said, I think it became too specific. Mm-hmm. What I see out of this is God heading you in this path, this direction, but you now have to go ask, seek, and knock and see how you're going to walk down these forks in the road. And I said, why don't we start over? Because remember, and we learned this last time, Philippians 3 says what? Forget the things that lay behind.
Right.
And press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus. And people say, yeah, what if I missed it? Or what if I did something wrong? Or, you know, there's some in trying to interpret what happened. And what I say to them is, well, why don't we just start from here?
Mm-hmm.
Because God's path is now forward. Maybe we did miss it. Maybe there is something that we didn't hear. Maybe we attached too much specificity to it. So I tell you what, why don't we just start again? Because God doesn't mind repeating, confirming,
right,
and understanding, you know, what it is that he wants us to understand. And if there's a new path, he'll say, well, let's just go on the new path.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still going to fulfill the covenant. Maybe it'll look different to you, but it's still going to be the covenant. So I just wanted to kind of say one more thing about that so we don't get stuck in our understanding of a prophetic word that hasn't fulfilled itself.
Right.
And now we're kind of stymied because we can't move anywhere with it. And God says, well, we can still go. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Just start afresh, you know, and come on. The next thing that we want to talk about.
Next, if I can just insert in that as well. I've heard it said before, and I think this is for me, a beautiful picture, like when somebody has spoken something prophetic, you know, like you said, taking it to God and asking him, you know, what do I keep from this? What do I need to receive? And getting confirmation from others too, in that is a beautiful gift. But knowing that sometimes we receive it through a filter and sometimes it's spoken through a filter, right?
Yeah.
And so what do I need to keep from this? And then, the person I listened to described it as then basically he puts it in his pocket and he doesn't try to make it happen. And I think that's the other thing that I see people do is they get a word and then they run and try to make it happen instead of taking it as this is an alert that God just said that is basically an invitation into a process with you.
Right.
And right. into stepping into what he has, and he'll filter out what wasn't accurate and give more details as he's ready to give them that you need to know. But it's not something to make happen. It's something to, okay, huh, that's interesting. I'm going to pay attention to that.
Right.
And I'm going to put it aside. I'm going to write it down, but I'm putting it in my pocket. I'm yep. not using it as a map.
Yes.
And two very different things. And I think that is where we can get into trouble is when we decide we're going to make it a map and we have decided we're making it a map instead of asking him what he wants to do with it.
Yes. We just had we did an abiding retreat. And during an abiding retreat, we have an exercise of hearing God's voice and imitation to where he wants you to abide and what he wants to say. Mm-hmm. And it's remarkable as you and I get to experience in our leaders, it's, you know, thousands of people have been spoken to and
right.
God just directly speaks to them personally. And everybody in the room knows it and they know
mm-hmm.
it. It's me personal. It's my invitation. So there was a guy that had an invitation, and he abided and he heard God's voice and he was led, as he was invited to this, area of his life, basically God revealed to him, you have a pattern that I need to heal.
Mm-hmm.
He received it. He spoke it at a reunion dinner.
Right.
God said, and I recognize that I have this flaw, so to speak, and it's a wound in my soul of something that I tend to do, but God wants me to have him heal this. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, do you have understanding of that? You know, yes. Are you in agreement that this is what God wants to do for you to bring you freedom? Yes. But it's a lifelong pattern. And so then he said this, I have to go figure out how to make this work. I said, whoa, stop a second. You know, God did speak prophecy over you of this is coming. You're on the right path. I said, but kind of what you're saying is actually, it's not a instruction to go figure this out or to try to get better at this, which is how he was interpreting it.
Right.
Well, I got to get better at this thing that I'm not good at. And I said, no, we don't yet know how he wants to play this out. What he does want you to do is spend time with him. There's going to be verses in scripture that he's going to have you process. He'll start to give you specifics as it relates to your life to learn it. You have to be a receiver, not a go-getter.
Right.
As you hear and walk, it's not, okay, I'll take it from here, which is kind of what you were implying. Let me go make this happen.
Right.
No, you can't make it happen. And partly is because it's a path. Go to, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians 2 and just read verses 9 to 12. 1 Corinthians 2, sure. 9 to 12. And let's talk a little bit more about this specific thing.
Hang on just a second because I didn't have that one pulled up.
Nope.
1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12.
Yep.
Okay. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God.
Yeah. So he said, I've already prepared the path, and you can't figure this out, because he said it's not by your intellect, by your what you hear, what you see, how you think through it. Rather, it's a spiritual aspect of what I've prepared to reveal, and the word reveal is disclose, uncover, walk you on my path. And I want you to move forward in this spiritual way of letting me lead you and you follow by, and then in verse 12, he says, the key word is receive, be a receiver, not a go-getter. The Spirit's job is to give you the pathway. Your job is to be a receiver of that and to keep understanding is, I do see that you've asked me to pay attention. I do see that you've spoken something to me, which by the way, you know, like in a prophetic way, and I've had this where people had a word that said, you know, God is going to move you to a new job. All he said is pay attention. And when he says move you to a new job, it doesn't mean you go find a new job.
Right.
It just means,
and also doesn't mean the first time something is teed up in front of you that you're supposed to run to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or this must be it. It's like, no.
Yeah.
All you're to do now is to ask, seek, and knock and say, I'll follow you. I'll receive the steps that you have for me to get to the place you need me to get to. And I now know if like, for example, I'm going to have a new job or this guy's going to have a new area to work on. It's, well, you pay attention and you start moving along that path, but you don't determine the path.
Right.
Or the end line or the answer or take somebody that maybe have prophesied an answer. And I'm always always encouraging people, don't be careful not to receive an answer, because an answer is progressive from God. And he generally doesn't tell us the answer. He just says, hey, pay attention, go down this path. As we look at this is, you know, be in a place to be a receiver, be in a place to let it be a spiritual process of revelation, disclosure, confirmation, and don't try to figure things out on your own. Interesting enough, when you do, you actually then walk away from God because you're back in the flesh.
Right.
And I'll take it from here. He says, well, I'll let you, but you're not going to be able to walk down my path because you're not with me. It's kind of simple, really.
Right,
right. You just got to be with. And by the way, it's kind of fun. He says, if you walk with me, it'll be a joy. And the discovery process will be a joy. And the things that will happen will be a joy, because it's me doing things, not you figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. And what you're really describing there too is walking in the kingdom,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Learning to walk and stay in the kingdom.
Yep, yep. And seeking the kingdom is seek ye first the kingdom. And the kingdom is I surrender my will. I let you guide me because you have a will, and you are going to walk me step by step by step, you know, into it. So as we are thinking about, if you're anywhere discouraged about, I thought I heard something that was supposed to happen and it didn't, or somebody spoke something and it hasn't happened, and I wonder, we would just say, well, we'll kind of go back to the freshness of, well, here I am. I'm not sure at the moment. So could you reconfirm which path you want me to be on?
Right.
And walk me into it, and may it be a joy, you know, to walk into it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the beautiful truth of that, that we can't figure this out with logic, with what we hear, what we see, but rather it's spiritual, it's disclosure, it's you revealing things to us that we have to be a receiver of, knowing that you've given us a heads up. And so we just pray that we'll recognize what they are and have a joy of discovery down the path of what they are. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.